Oh, he said the goodies are right here on the pulpit. Ah, that's true. Amen. And speaking of that, I'm thinking about a hymn from our hymn book, and it says, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. I always say I'm through the flood because I've had so many plumbing problems in my life. But it's true of every true born-again believer. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And all of us, if we're saved by the purchasing power of the blood of the Lamb of God. But some of you that are saved, you may be going through different trials, troubles, and tribulations at this time in your life. I think I've talked to people this week. It seems like this week was a particularly strong week of trouble. Strong week of trials. And the song says about these things, and it calls them fiery trials or fire. And this goes along with the New Testament. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You see, your faith in the Bible is compared to gold. And gold must be refined by fire, and it becomes more fine. You know what fine means. It means more pure. And the fire burns off the impurities, but can't burn up the gold. It just makes it more pure. And so it is if you have true faith. The fire of trouble and trial does not stop your faith. It purifies your faith. So it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Because if you have saving faith this morning in the Lord, you have in the past, or right now, or in the future, you're going to go through some kind of fiery trial in your life. I can't promise you this morning that you'll never go through any furnace of affliction on your way to your heavenly mansion. No, I can promise you just the opposite. You will not go without going through the fire. But the good news is the flood won't drown you. The fire won't burn you up. It will only make you better. What doesn't make you bitter makes you what? Better. And for the child of God, that's going to happen to you. So God's word can give you hope so that you don't despair of His mercy in your life. Whether He's trying your faith by fire or whether He's chastising you by fire to purify you and to purify your faith in the Word of God. And so this morning, the sermon that I'm thinking about, and this sermon was inspired as I was praying for a young lady, I'll mention at the end. But as I was praying, I was thinking about this scripture. Please turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, 19 through 27. I believe here it's a picture that God paints for you of how God protects you through the fires. How God provides and delivers you through the fire. And the name of my message is, God can take away the smell of your fire. God can take away the smell of your fire. Now, you remember Daniel. He's the prophet in the book of Daniel. And he had three friends. They were given Babylonian names, their Jewish names, Aziel, Mishael, and so forth. But their Babylonian names are what we know them more popularly as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's what the Bible says in Daniel 3, verse 27. It says, "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them." That's amazing. They'd gone through this tremendous affliction that was sure and certain death, and they went into this terrible fire, and yet they came out of it, and they didn't even smell of smoke. You ever smell smoke on your clothes? How many of you have ever had smoky clothes? You know, we used to burn wood in the wood burner, and certain people would come in, and they would smell like wood burning on the fire. You know, we had that. And sometimes you get around a bonfire, and you smell smoky, don't you? Or if you smoke cigarettes, I can smell you. I don't even have to see you smoking. I can smell you. That's stinky stuff. Those cigarettes, oh, and the worst smell in the world, the smell I hate more than anything, I hate that smell. And you know what it is, Brother Matthew? It's the smell of marijuana. It is gross and ugly. Marijuana stinks. And if you smoke marijuana, you stink. Amen? You stink. And I don't want to stink. I want to smell good. Amen. I used to come into school and the kids could say, I always tell when pastor's coming because he has his mints with him. And my wife isn't here today. She's in Florida. Pray for her. Her back is really bad. But she's here kind of in bed right now hurting. But she always makes sure I got my mints. They're down in my office in one of my drawers. And I don't know where my mints are. I mean, I didn't get my mints. And so I don't smell like mints this morning, I don't think. Maybe better. Amen. All right, Matt, you want to give me one? Yeah, I need a mint. I got it. It's like a junkie. I got to have my mint. But these guys, they didn't even smell like fire. They went through a terrible ordeal. They went through a fiery trial. Yes, it should have killed them. But because of God, it says they didn't even have the smell of fire on them. They didn't have a hair of their head singed. How many have ever had your hair singed in fire? Yeah, I have. And not even their hair was singed in this terrible fire. I'm saying God can do that. God can take away the smell of fire in your life. You know, there are two kinds of Christians. I call them sweet and sour. And I'm talking about older Christians like me. When you get up in years, there are two kinds of Christians. There are some old men, they're just sour old men. They claim to believe in the Lord, but they're sour. I wouldn't want to be around them. They make me tired. Some of them are pastors. And I just don't like these guys. But listen to me, there's also sweet old men and sweet old ladies. And those are the kind of people you want to be. And either you're going to smell like smoke and you're going to be bothered by all the things you went through. And by the way, you're going to meet some people that are going to be like fire. They're going to blow on you and it's going to be tough. But you can let them make you bitter or they can make you better and sweeter. And so today, I want to say God can make you sweeter. God can take away the smell of fire. So you're going to be one of those sweet Christians. And people are going to say, wow, I want what she has. I want what he has. And I want to say three things about this morning, about God taking away the smell. Number one, because as the Lord called these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to go through the real fire, he is calling you to go through it. All right, let me read verse 27. I already read it. As God called these men to go through the fire, they didn't even smell of smoke after they went through it. So God is calling you to go through fire in your life. Now, you may not have done it yet, but you will go through it. And maybe you've gone through it. You'll maybe do it again and again, more than once. God is calling you like them to go through the fire. And listen, these guys made the king angry. You know what? I don't like to make people angry, especially people in authority that have power over my life. I don't want to make them angry. I don't want the IRS angry. Amen. You don't want to make them angry. You don't want them bothering you. You don't want certain people. I don't like to make a policeman angry. When I see a policeman, I'm very careful to be respectful. Why? I don't want to fight that guy. I don't want to get into I don't have to prove my manhood by fighting a cop. That's stupid. It's pure it can get yourself killed. No, I don't want to do that. I want to be respectful of authority. But listen to me. There is a time when if authority goes against God, You've got to do what God wants.
That's right.
And I might not like it, I might not want to do it, but God is calling me to go through it, and sometimes it happens, and these guys were being forced by the authority to bow down to an idol. I wonder what would happen if an authority told you, if you don't bow down to an idol, you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail for life. You're going to go to jail without the possibility of parole. Or worse yet, you're going to get the death penalty if you don't buy. You say that would never happen. It's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen when the Antichrist and the beast come to power. It's going to happen.
Right.
And so these guys were faced with that situation, and the Bible said everybody bowed down. They played the rock music, you know, and everybody boogied and bowed down, and they worshiped the idol, and these three kids were standing up. These three young teenagers were standing up, just like this. You know, it's sad when people don't stand and put their hand on the heart for the flag. Sometimes they take a knee. That doesn't impress me.
Right.
But it does impress me if you're standing up when everybody else is bowing down to an idol and worshiping an idol. And that's what these guys did. And so the people around them, they saw them standing up and they tattletaled. They told the king what was going on. And it says in verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and fire or the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they said, we got to bind these guys. They're standing up there. They're not bowing down. You take them and bind them. So they had these three guys with big muscles. Not three guys. They had a bunch of guys with big muscles. And they took these three teenagers and they bound their hands. They bound them up and they tied them up. And they put coats on them and everything. You know why they did that? Because they wanted the coats to burn and guys would burn up. And the king said, heat that furnace so hot. It was hot, man. You know how hot it was? People have nicknamed me Shadrach. You know why they call me Shadrach sometime? Because they come into my office downstairs. And they walk in there and they say, whoo, this is hot in here. Brother Z gets in there and he can't take the heat. He's like, oh, it's too hot. And this furnace was so hot. It was so hot that the guys that threw them in the furnace, they got burned up immediately. It was so hot, they stood back from the furnace. They go, one, two, three. And when they threw them in, they just burned up themselves. The flame went and burned them up. It was that hot. So it was a real fire. And in case anyone doubted the fire was real, I believe God put this in here so that you would know that God really did a miracle. Why do you need to know that? Because we need to know that we serve a miracle-working God. He does miracles. He is the Almighty God. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they faced real fire. There was a guy by the name of Thomas Jefferson. How many have heard of Thomas Jefferson? He was a president of the United States. He was an architect. He was a great man indeed. And we should respect Thomas Jefferson, one of our great founding fathers. However, Thomas Jefferson, spiritually speaking, I don't respect his faith.
No.
You say, why? Because he wrote a Bible. He said, I want to write a Bible, and I want to have in the Bible all the teachings of Jesus because they're so moral, they're so good. But I don't believe in the miracles of Jesus, so I'm going to wipe them out of my Bible. And he didn't have one miracle in his Bible. He just had the teachings of Jesus. Well, listen, if Jesus didn't work miracles, then either he's a lunatic or a liar. If he didn't work any miracles, his teaching, I wouldn't listen to it. Would you listen to a loon, a lunatic? Would you listen to a liar? No, I wouldn't listen to it. But either he's a lunatic, a liar, or he is the Lord. He's God in the flesh. And that's exactly who he is. And so you should listen to Jesus. And you should listen to the preacher like I'm preaching to you. Because who I'm preaching to you about this morning, you will stand before him one day. You will stand before him and you will go to either heaven or hell. And if you're there at that great judgment day, the Lord is the judge. He'll be sitting on a throne and he has the power to send you to hell. Jesus So you need to listen to the Lord Jesus. And what I'm saying to you is the fire was real, and the Lord is the one that delivered them out of this fire. And you need to know that it is a real thing that we are talking about. And God did a literal miracle, because these men who threw the Hebrews in, they were suddenly burned up. Now, let me tell you something. When you get around somebody that knows God, you're going to get hot, because the fire that burns them is going to touch you. I remember my first secretary, 26 years, Mrs. Rolaine Wolf. She used to tell me, "Pastor, ever since I work with you, I get burned by your fire." She said, "You got trouble. You're always getting into trouble, Pastor. And I get burned because I'm working in the church office. And it is scary sometimes." And my secretary now, his wife, Alicia Zuka, she knows what Miss Wolf was talking about. She's been there. She's seen that. She's been through some fires as well. You work with the man of God, and you're going to go through some fire. They are real. They are real. And when my wife got married to me, I had her know, "You want to get married to me, but I'm a pastor, and there are real fires." And my wife has had to walk through some fires as she's walked with me. So just know that. Just know that if you come into the church, you're going to come into some real fires. In fact, in the Soviet Union, before it was Russia again, it was a big Iron Curtain empire, and communism ruled. And if you believed in God, or you believed in Jesus, or you believed in the Bible, you would be arrested. We couldn't have a church service in the old Soviet Union like this morning. They would arrest us all, right? And they had a church, and if you went along with the government, then you would be able to worship. But to go along with the government meant you had to deny things in the Bible and miracles in the Bible, and you had to go along with a sanitized religion that was a bunch of baloney. And so one day there was a real church going, and the service was an underground service. In other words, it was illegal. And all of a sudden, if you can imagine, through those back doors, two Russian soldiers came with full military gear, with machine guns and everything else, and they burst through, and they go, "All right, this is an illegal service. We are going to kill you on the spot for this." Now, some of you we recognize are really not born again Christians, and you don't really stand with this. You just got sucked up, and we're going to give you a chance to opt out. But every one of you that are real born-again Christians, you get over against that wall. The rest of you run out the back door. And a bunch of people ran out the back door. And a few people got up against that wall. And as soon as the people got out the back door, the soldiers put their guns down and put their arms out and hugged the guys against the wall and said, "Now, our brothers, our comrades, let us worship together." Let us worship together. And you see, that's what it's the song. Remember the song I said at the beginning? Some through the fire, some through the flood, but all through the blood. It doesn't say some around the water, some around the flood, some around the fire, but all around the blood. No. I remember I had a guy in my church. He's now a pastor. And I remember this guy, while he was in my church, he was a Bible college student, and he came. He liked my preaching. He liked the church. He liked the excitement of it. But when I got into trouble, and I would get into trouble from time to time because of my stand, he was nowhere to be found. He left the church. He went up to some church where there was no trouble. They weren't doing soul winning. They weren't really fighting the devil. He went up there, and he waited till I got out of trouble. And once all the trouble died down, he said, "Oh, I'm back, Pastor. I'm back to be with you." I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, "I'm going to get out and bail out, when the trouble comes." No, I'm going to be in the foxhole with the man of God. I think of Elgin Gano. I think I'd want to be with Elgin Gano in a foxhole. Amen. I just kind of believe he'd be there. And so I'm just saying that you're going to go through chastening, or you're going to go through trials and afflictions. But sometime, listen to me, the fires that we go through are because we're not walking with God like we should. We're not right with God as we should. And so the Lord spanks us. How many have ever heard of spanking? You know what spanking is? Yeah. It's where you take a wooden ruler or something and give the child a spanking on the bottom. And that's why your bottom is bigger than, and, you know, it's got, because God wants a spanking on there. So you learn lessons, right? I got spankings. How many of you have ever been spanked in a good way? All right, yeah, I got spankings. And so God spanks his children. Now, God won't spank the devil's children. God will put you through some fires to purify you, because you've got too much junk on you, and he's got to clean you out. Here's what, by the way, I go down with my car, and I get all this junk on me, this salt on the road, and guess what? I go through the laundromat there. I drive through it. Why? I don't want that salt to eat up the metal on my car, so I try to keep it clean during the winter. And sometimes that's what you need, but you need to go through the flame to get cleaned off. Here's what it says in Hebrews 12. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You know, that's a strong word, to be a bastard. You know what a bastard is? It means, let's say you have a father and a mother, and you think that your father is your father, but you find out that your father really is the mailman. That would be kind of a scary discovery. I thought my father was my father, but my father is really the mailman. In other words, I'm a bastard and not a son. I'm not really a son. And you know what? That happens in the church. There are people in the church. They may be members of the church. Maybe you got baptized. Maybe you joined the church. But you're not born again. God isn't your father. Jesus put it this way. You're of your father, the devil. And the will of your father ye do. You know what? I went to church as a kid. I went to Sunday school and all that. But I was not born again until I reached 17 years of age. And I didn't love the Lord. I didn't love his word. I didn't know God. I wasn't born again. So I was never spanked by God. But I'll tell you, since I got saved at 17, I've had some time where God has really spanked me. And I'm glad for that, because I know I am a child of God. I can't get away with living like the rest of the world. I can't get away with living like the devil. If you can, and you don't get chastened, and maybe I've heard grown men cry they get chastened. I've heard grown ladies cry. Why? Because they're being spanked. Why? They're going through a fire, and God is dealing with you as a child of God. And if you don't go through that, then you have good reason to doubt, am I the Lord's? Because he doesn't even care about me going through bad things. He just lets me get away with it. Hey, you may get away with it, but you're going to wind up in another kind of fire. It's called the fire of hell. And once you get in there, you're not getting out. I'd rather go through the fire of God's chastening, where he's burning stuff off my life that are idols in my life and taking weights off me, than you know, go into the fire of hell. So God can take away the smell of fire, because as the Lord called them to go through real fire, so he is calling you to go through it as well. But number two, because as the Lord went with them through it, so he will be with you in it. And we're looking at Daniel 3, 23 through 25. Let me say something. When you are called to obey God's word, you will see that you are being threatened to pay a price for it. You see, when these three Hebrew children were told to worship the golden image and to bow down to it, They didn't do it. But the king gave them another opportunity. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. I know you didn't bow down the first time. Maybe you didn't hear it well. I'm going to give you another chance. If you bow down and you do it now, I won't throw you into this fiery furnace. But if you do it again, if you keep standing when everybody's bowing down, then you are going to get it. You're going to get it, and you're going to pay for what you have done. And listen, they could have bowed down. Or maybe one or two of them could have said, okay, we'll bow down. But you know what they would have missed out on? They would have missed out on a great blessing. By the way, you're called to walk by faith. I'm talking to some of you, you're children of God, and you're called to walk by faith. But you say, I don't want to take this step of faith. People might not like me if I take this step of faith. I don't want to do this because I might lose their friendship, and I don't want to lose their friendship. Amen and amen. I don't want to lose their friendship. I want to do the right thing. And so you go along with them. You don't do the right thing. But God says, listen to me, you're going to miss a blessing that God has for you. By not taking a stand, you're going to miss a blessing that God has for you. Now listen to me, I want to tell you about the blessings that God has for you if you do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. It says, first of all, in Daniel 3, 23 and 24, 24 and 25, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Now this is the king. He had them thrown in the fire. And there they fall into it. And he can look from a distance down into that fire. He said, now wait a minute. Didn't we put three men bound? Weren't they all bound? They're walking around loose. They're loose in the fire. Now, God can use these fiery trials in your life to burn away sins that have been binding you. You say, why does God allow sickness in my family? Why does God allow death in my family? Why does God allow hard times in my life? Listen, He's trying to get rid of all of those weights that you have on your life and those sins that you've taken on, and He wants to burn them off your life. Because they're not going to help you get ready for heaven as a child of God. And that's what these guys did. They threw them into the fire, but all the bonds were burned off of them. And God does that. God also burns off fakes during fire, as I just said. During the great tribulation that's coming, there are a lot of people that are in the church because they can get things and they can benefit from being in the church. But when tribulation comes, wait a minute, they're going to forsake. They're going to take the mark of the beast and they're going to go along with it. And so God is going to purify, listen to me, His people before Jesus Christ comes back again. And by the way, I think of Donald John Trump, the President of the United States. He went through a lot of trouble, and it showed the real supporters of the president from those that were just fake and they weren't willing to pay a price. A lot of people had to go to jail to follow Donald Trump. A lot of people got raided and their houses were surrounded by the corrupt FBI and the corrupt government and raided. I think of Roger Stone. His house was raided. He was put in jail. An old man in his 70s and his wife, and they took him out, you know, of his house in the early morning, and they had CNN record it just to mock him and to put him down. But he went through that. And by the way, he got saved through that experience. He said he got born again through that experience. And I'm just saying that you're going to miss a blessing to get things taken off of your life just because you were not willing to go through a fiery trial. And now you're going to have these things still on you and they're going to slow you down for the Lord. Now there's a second thing though. Notice what he says here. He looked in that fiery furnace and the king said, did we not cast three men? Lo, I see four men. He said, we put three in there and we have four walking around. How is that? You know who the fourth one was, don't you? He said, the fourth one is like unto the Son of God. By the way, the modern English translations don't have capital S, Son of God, capital G. They don't have that in there. But I want to tell you, if you don't go through the trials in your life that God wants you to go through for Him, you're going to miss out on being close to Jesus. You may have Jesus in your life, but you're not going to see Him. You're not going to experience Him. You're not going to have a love for Him like we said, where you're in love with Jesus. No, no, you're not going to feel His love for you. You're going to miss out on that. In fact, here's what the Bible says about that. It says in Romans 5, 3 through 5, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now listen, when you go through tribulation, you know what that means? Fires, trouble, affliction, because of being saved. He said, if you go through these troubles and these afflictions, that is going to work patience in you. What does patience mean? That you stick with the Lord even during the hard times. You don't leave and go around the fire and try to get away from it. You stick with the Lord. And he says, when you do that, you're going to have experience in your life. What are you going to experience? You're going to experience something wonderful. You're going to experience the presence of the Lord in your life. You're going to experience the love of God in your life. You say, what are you talking about? It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. The word ashamed there means to be let down. You know what? I didn't want to preach. I'm preaching this morning. I was not one of those guys that wanted to preach. I was like Moses in that sense. I was shy. I didn't think, oh, I'm God's gift to the world. I'm God's preacher. I didn't think like that at all. God had to kind of drag me up here and put me up here. I'm a shy man come out of himself. I don't seek this. I don't want to do this. But listen, I would have missed out on a blessing, because if I would have never gone into the pulpit, I would have never experienced how God does not disappoint me in the pulpit. Now, I have felt alone in the pulpit. I have felt forsaken in the pulpit. But I've also experienced, but God never did forsake me. I felt it, but He didn't. But I have experienced the sense of His presence. I have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you teach a Sunday school class and you go out soul winning and you do what God wants you to do, you're going to experience God helping you. He's not going to let you down. But some of you, you never step out in faith. You never do what God wants you to do. Well, you're not going to experience that. You're not going to experience what God can do when you step out. Matt called me the other night. He finished his bus ministry. And I guess he and Kyle went out and they had some great experiences. You're going to miss out on those experiences if you don't step out in faith and do what God would have you to do. Those kind of blessings, you're not going to experience them. And so you need to realize that by going into the fire, the things that have been binding you up and slowing you down will be burned off. And also, you'll be closer to the Lord, and you'll experience the Lord helping you and His presence in your life. So, number one, God can take away the smell of your fire, because as the Lord called these guys to go through the fire, so He's calling you to go through real fire. Number two, because as the Lord went with them through the fire, so He will be with you to help you in the midst of the fire. You'll experience that. And number three, because as the Lord brought them out, so He will bring you out. Look at verse 26 of chapter 3. I'll read it. And here's what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Boy, I'm sure when they went into the fire, they were like, God, I don't know if we're going to be burned up or not, but we're just going to do what you want us to do. But how good it must have felt when they were in there with the Lord, and then they were called to come out of that fire. How good that must have felt, man. They came out of that fire. I remember going to a fire in 2017. I remember the date, October 12th, 2017. I gave a guy a ride named Matt. Not this Matt. I gave a guy a ride, and I dropped him off at the Viewmont Mall. And as I was sitting there by the door to the entrance of the food court of the Viewmont Mall, I got a call from a paralegal representing my attorney, October 12, 2017, and said, "We won. We won. We won." You see, I remember that like it was yesterday, my friend. What a time that is. When God brings you out, I'd been going through 9 months of hell, 9 months of fire, 9 months of trial. And on that day, God said, "We won." Boy, I don't know about you, but I remember November 5th, 2025. We'd gone through 4 years of hellish attacks on our president. 4 years of a stolen election. 4 years of corruption right up in our face. We sought for 4 years. We prayed for 4 years. But on November 5th, 2025, we won! We won! Praise God, we won! And I'm just saying, what a thing that is when the Lord brings you out and your faith has been tested, but then you win a great victory. And what I'm saying to you is God will lead you into trials. God will lead you into troubles. Don't be afraid of it. Listen, don't be afraid, because it's worth waiting for. The blessing, the hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But the desire granted is a tree of life. See, some people, they try to take their own fruit and they try to pick. No, you let God give you His fruit tree. You let God give you His blessing. Don't take your own. You let God do it, my friend. And wow, that then becomes a tree of life. That becomes a blessing to you. And so God will bring you out. He will not leave you in that furnace of affliction forever. And then also under that same thing about God bringing you out, look at verse 27 of Daniel 3. I'll read it. You follow. Verse 27, Daniel chapter 3 says, "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." I'll tell you the young lady that got me praying about that, and that's Lenika, Eddie Brent's granddaughter. I heard about the infection after brain surgery, and I knew what Ruben Rodriguez went through and the brain bleed she had. And then they had to go in and have another surgery on this little 11-year-old granddaughter. And it touched my heart, Lenika. I've been praying for Lenika. I pray you would. And one of the things I pray for her, Lord, let her come out without a hair of her head singed. She's had brain surgery. Let her come out of this thing without the smell of fire on her. Let her come out of this thing, Lord, and be able to put this all behind her and use this for good, Lord. And you know, that is a blessing when you come out of these things. And I'll tell you what, something I do go around that I don't ever want to fight with is a skunk. Amen? I'm not a guy that picks fights with skunks. I don't like skunks. My youngest son, he was afraid of skunks, and he well should have, because if you fight with a skunk, you're going to get stink all over you. And sometimes, you know, you have to deal with a skunk. God is leading you down this pathway, and you got to deal with a skunk. I know when I go on doors and I go door knocking, it says, "Beware a dog." I say, "Next." Next. I remember one time we knocked on a door, this big dog came out. I pushed past the door in front of me and shut the door. I'm a real hero. But I don't like to fight things. But if I'm being led and I got stink all over me, and I've had that where I had stink all over me, you know what? God is able to just take away the stink. God is able to take away the stink. And sometimes you think, I don't know how I ever going to get this stink off me. It is so bad. You know, I want to take a bath in tomato juice. The stink of that is so bad. I guess that's supposed to help with skunk, you know, take a bath in tomato juice. But I just don't want that stink on me. But you know what? The Lord is able to take the stink right off of you. And he's able to remove it from you. And I pray in that for little Anika. But I want to say this to you, that the good news is there's coming a day when all the stink is going to be taken off you. And that's the day when Jesus comes back. And all that stink is going to be removed. And the Bible says we're going to stand before him. There's not going to be a spot on us. I get spots on my clothes all the time. I had this thing, my wife wanted me to wear it down because to my grandkids, and they gave me this thing, nice sweatshirt, and I wore it one day and I had a spot. She said, put that back up, now hang that back up. But God's going to take off every spot, every wrinkle, every bit of stink that the devil, that the world, that the flesh has thrown at us. There's going to be a day when we're coming out of here. Amen. We're coming out of this world. And so let me say to you this morning, God can take away the smell of your fire, because as the Lord called them to go through a fire, so he's going to call you to go through a fire. Number two, because as the Lord went with them in the fire, he'll go with you into the fire. And as the Lord brought them out of the fire, so the Lord will bring you out of your fire. Amen and amen. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. This morning we've been talking about